All right, so we're starting on Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara has a question about our Mishnah, which is Zibay Lahu Shlosh Yamim. When the Mishnah mentions these 3 days, Hain Ve'edehen, are the 3 days including or subsumed in those 3 days is the Chag itself? Odeba Hain Ve'edehen. It's 3 days in addition to the Chag. Meaning that's 3 days plus the Chag, or is it 3 days with the Chag? Tashma, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Shlosha Lifnehem Ushlosha Le'achareihem. Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to see in the upcoming Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with the position of the Tanakh, but the Chachamim would disagree with him, that there are actually, whether you're precluded from the 3 days beforehand and the 3 days afterwards. Now, if you think that in these terms, or subsumed in these terms, is also the Chag itself, then Rabbi Shmuel Yomedehem, Chashulu Meikara, Vechashulu Basuf, he's double counting the day itself. Because if he says 3 before, 3 after, and in that is already the Chag, it means 2 days before plus the Chag plus 2 days afterwards, so he's counting the Chag twice. So when he says, no, I did the Tana Shlosh Liftayim, Tana Nami Shlosh Achrayim, it's just parallel structure in the statement or in the Mishnah of Rabbi Shmuel, but not that he is suggesting or we can make any, bring to any conclusion from his statement about Shlosh Lifnehem and Shlosh Lachrehem. Tashma, Damar of Tchlifa Bar Abdimi, Amar Shmuel. Now I'll be honest with you, the Lashon of the statement here does not read so smoothly, but I'll read it the way the Mefarshim read it, the way Rashi reads it, which is, Yom Echad, those that celebrate Yom Rishon, those that celebrate Sunday as a holiday, the Divrei Rabbi Shmuel Olam Asur, are always Asur. Why? Well, if you have Sunday, and you take 3 days before, and you take 3 days afterwards, there's nothing left to the week. You need to cover the entire week. But what's clear from that statement of Rabbi Shmuel is that we're talking about 3 days, not including the holiday. Because then you have the day before, you have 3 before, 3 afterwards, you get 6, plus the day itself is 7. If you want to suggest that the statement really includes them and the holiday itself, that include Wednesday and Thursday, then would not be problematic. Because you'd have the day itself, 2 days before would be Friday, Shabbos, 2 days afterwards would be Monday, Tuesday. That means Wednesday and Thursday would be fine. Deshori. So when it says, Aliba Durabi Shmuel Lokami Baili. So when it says, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we have no question. Dehain Beloi Dehen. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's clear that he believes it's Hain Beloi Dehen, and when his statements are made, they're made not including the Chag itself. Ki Kami Baili. The question that arises for me is, Aliba Durabonon. According to Rabbanon, my, what's the din? So Amar Rabbi, Amar Ravino Tashma. So the next mission afterwards, which says, Ve'elu Hain Dehen, Shalom De Kachavim. The mission lists out, what are the holidays of the Ovi Kachavim? So now they start Kalanda, Sachonaya, Kartasim. So these three holidays, we're going to see in sec that the word Kalanda probably may even come from the word calendar. Ramar Chanin, Barova, Kalanda. When is this Kalanda? Chet Yamim Achart Kufa. 8 days after the winter solstice. Right, so the winter solstice, what's 8 days after the winter solstice? That would be? Right, would be New Year's. Right, exactly. So you have the day or the holiday around there. Now, the Rabbeinu Chanan and others point out here that when Deva Chet Yamim Achar Tkufa means 8 day, it's an 8 day holiday. It's not just that it's 8 days after this winter solstice is Kalanda. It's close, right? It's very close. So 21st to 22nd, so it'll come out, right? Depending on, you know, today in our, right, that's not in our, right, that's in our time. And we'll see also from the subsequent Gemara that it seems like it wasn't immediately after, it was a day or two after the Tkufa. So they have, anyway, Chet Yamim Achar Tkufa, according to Rabbeinu Chanan and others, does not mean that it was, that holiday's 8 days afterwards, but there's an 8 day holiday after the Tkufa that culminates in Kalanda. Alright, Sachonaya, the Sachonaya is Shmona Yamim Lifnei Tkufa, is 8 days prior to the Tkufa. V'simanech, how do you remember in the Mishnah when it enumerates the holidays, it says first Kalanda, then Sachonaya. How do you remember that Kalanda is 8 days after the Tkufa and Sachonaya is 8 days before? From the Pasuk, Achor V'kedem Tzertani. Right, so this is what we use for Adam HaRishon, description of the creation of Adam HaRishon. But it says first Achor, and then Kedem. So that means the latter comes first. Right, the second 8 days come before the first 8 days. So that's why Kalanda is the 8 days after the Tkufa Achor. Kedem is Sachonaya, which are the 8 days prior to the winter solstice, Tkufa. So that's how the memory device. V'salka datcho. Now, we come down to what this is all about. If you think Hain Ve'edehen, if you think that when we're talking about the enumerating the days over here, then the number should be asarahavu. It should be 10 and not 3. So now if you think about that, what does that mean? The holiday itself is 8 days long. Now, we said that 3 days prior to the holiday is restricted. But those 3 days, subsumed in those 3 days, is 1 day of the holiday. Which means, really, only 2 days before the holiday are you restricted. So if I take the 2 days before the holiday, plus the holiday itself, you get 10 days. So why does the Mishnah only say, Shlosha yamim lifnei edehem? It should say, Asara yamim lifnei edehem. Or Asara yamim. Because Asara yamim would subsume both the 2 days before, plus the holiday itself. So why is the Mishnah using 3 and not 10? So Mar says, Tana kule kalanda chad yom ha'chosh kashublei. Right, so this is something that we see in Allah also, which is that the holiday, the 8 day holiday, is classified as a single day. So that's when the Mishnah addresses Shloshe Yamim, it means 2 days before plus the holiday. Now the holiday could be a 1 day holiday, or the holiday could be a 8 day holiday, but either way it's classified as being 1 day or one in Yom HaRichta, we'll call it. Amaravashi, Tashma, another proof. Lifnei Edehem, this is our Mishnah that we read before, Lifnei Edehem Shovdei Kuchavim Shloshe Yamim. So it says, Lifnei, Edehem, Shachavim, Shoshayimim. Now, Isakadat Vahim, Vedehem, if you think it's them and their holidays, Litnei, Edehem, Shachavim, Shoshayimim. Should say their holidays are 3 days. Tumar says, Vechitayim, so what are you going to think? I think Tani Lifnei, Edehem, Limutelachar, Edehem. That comes to teach you before and not after, unlike the position Rabbi Shmuel, which is coming out, which has before and after. So then they should have written, the Mishnah should have, the language of the Mishnah would be clear, Litnei, Edam, Shodei, Chachavim, Gimo Yomim, Lifnehem. Right, Edam. So, where you're restricted from all these items, is 3 yamim, lifnehem, before them. The fact that they started out with lifnei, beforehand, that's the first term that's used in the Mishnah, el shmamina, hein velo edehem shmamina. That comes to show you that they're talking about here is independent of the holiday. So the 3 days are now independent of the holiday. That means both for Rabbi Yishmael and for the Chachamim, the 3 days are prior to the holiday itself, you have the holiday itself. Plus, you have the subsequent 3 days that are afterwards, according to Rabbi Shmuel, according to Chachamim, there are no 3 days that are afterwards. Now, Tosos points out over here that from the Gemara's question, that what the Mishnah should have said 10 days. If the Mishnah had been Hein Ve'edehen, it should have said 10 days. What's clear from there is that there must be some gap between the holiday of Kalanda and Satronaya. Why? Otherwise, if they were sequential holidays, meaning that 8 days before the Tkufa and 8 days after the Tkufa, and they were sequential holidays, then you really would have a much larger number. You have 8 and 8, which is 16, plus the 2 days before would be 18. The fact that the Gemara only asks for 10 days, right, would be, well, that's according to Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, even more, because it would be 3 and 3 before and after. According to Chachamim, only have before, it would turn out you should have said 18 days. The fact that the Gemara does not ask that it's 18 days, and only asks that it's 10 days, so he says, Tosfos says, based on that, it must be that there's some sort of hefsek of 2 days between them. And that would answer your question also, Shaul, before. You were asking, 8 days after the solstice really is not New Year's, but if you have that gap in there, you'd have to have 1 or 2 days, then you would end up with it coming out. Whether Rabbi Shmuel, who is talking as a Tana, speaking about Yom Rishon, is really thinking about early Christianity, or he's talking about some sort of pagan ritual at the time, it's clear here that this Kalanda, right, which is 8 days after the Tkufa, that runs from, you know, let's say, roughly the winter solstice till New Year's, maybe some days off a little bit, that you have what are the precursor to what would have been later on the Christian holidays when you have Xmas and New Year's that fall out in that 8 day period that becomes a period that is significant to them. Obviously, their belief not because of the pagan origins, but because of what happened religiously to them. But you see some here, some background, or at least some hint to the fact that there's already these holidays that exist or are there. Here the Gemara is addressing them from the Avodah Zarah standpoint. I don't think they're addressing them at this point from the Christian standpoint, because you're already talking about Tanaic works, Mishnaic works, which could be already, but I don't think it was so well developed at that time, Christianity, that they would be addressing. I think they're addressing what was a common practice outside of the Christian religion. We know at that time, at the time of the Tanaim, there's a huge, huge break in the Roman Empire that paganism is being rejected by people. People are searching for a religious outlet of sorts. And so you see these different things that are developing out of the pagan rituals that were there. Yadus also. Yadus does not necessarily develop holidays out of the pagan holidays, but it does coincide with the holidays. For instance, like the Harvest Festival and the Gathering, the Asifah Festival, you know, all of these festivals that were agrarian festivals that the Torah has interconnect with the holidays of Torah. Now the Torah does it on purpose in order to be mikdash what would otherwise been that which transpires in the mundane world. But you see the same, concept that in order to offset what might have been the pagan holidays at the time, you can either possibly take on the pagan holidays to encourage them to come and then sanctify them. On the other hand, like we do in Yadus, you could also have the idea that you are Mekadesh Bechol, which is that they celebrated in a way that was inappropriate, meaning they were celebrating Masei Yadayim, and our holidays come to say, no, it's all Kol Mi'eta Shem, to be put a layer of Kedusha above what would otherwise been those celebrations of mundane items. Okay, by the whole, Mishum Harvacha, or Mishum Dilma, or Dilma Mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol. What is the problem here of interacting with these Ovdei Kachavim Lifnei Dehem? Is it because of Harvacha? Now, Harvacha would mean that they are profiting. There's some sort of profit that happens here. And when he profits from the transaction, he's going to go ahead, and as Rashi says, Vavar Yisrael Mishum Lo Yishma Picha, that he'll cause the Ovid Avodah Zarah to go and give thanks to his God, which means that he'll cause him to speak, give credence to the Avodah Zarah, and that's the problem over here.
Right.
It's a very good question. When I read Rashi, I don't think it's so far from Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol, but it might be over here that there is a more directed problem, which is when we say Lo Yishma Picha, that Avodah Zarah not be heard by your voice, we also darshan Lo Yishameya Al Picha, which means that you cannot cause it to be heard. I mean, not only can you not say Avodah Zarah, speak about Avodah Zarah, but you can't cause others to. And that might be independent of the Lifnei Iver. I mean, that there might be a specific restriction. We've seen this before, the Gemara, which is also Lotinaf. So there the Gemara Deshim, Minayin Lazara. How do you know there's an Azara that not only Lotinaf, but to cause others to do Niuf, right? So the Gemara there, Deshim's like Lotanif, right? That don't cause others, facilitator. So I think that might be the drusha here of Loishma Picha, which is Loishamea, in that you can't cause others to be Shema of Azara Picha, and that's how it will be distinct from Lifnei Iver. Now Rashi, when he discusses Lifnei Iver, what's the problem of Lifnei Iver? Lifnei Iver is that he sells them Behema, that's what Shol just mentioned, he sells them Behema, that's going to be Makriv, Ala Mizbeach. So there, you're facilitating, causing the act of an Avodah Zarah to take place over here. That's the problem of the Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol. What's clear from here, number one clear thing is that there is Lifnei Iver when it comes to the Shiva Mitzvah of Bnei Noach. If you cause a Ben Noach to violate one of the Shiva Mitzvah of Bnei Noach, you are culpable for the Mitzvah of, or for the Lav of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol. That is clear from the Gemara. What is not clear, that's discussed in the Mechaz Chinuch, as others discuss it, does a Ben Noach have an issue of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol? To others, Ben Noach, or towards Yisrael, is there such a concept? The Ben Noach, whether he has it towards a Ben Noach or towards Yisrael, does that have any application whatsoever? Now, the difference might relate to how we view Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol. There's a basic Hakira on Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol, which is it an independent Lav? And does it stand alone? Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol, it's an independent Lav, and it's like any other Lav in the Torah. If that's the case, then it's more likely than not that it applies only to Jews and not to anyone else. It's one part of the Tagyag Mitzvot. And therefore, how could you compel a Ben Noach to be Chayav Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol? On the other hand, if you believe Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol is not a separate Lav, but what we call an overarching Lav. An overarching Lav, which means that it becomes a subset of every other Lav in the Torah. Every Lav in the Torah has a other subset or something that comes along with it, which means not only can you not do the Aveira, you may not cause others to do the Aveira. And it's subsumed under that Aveira. In that case, you could possibly, it's not perfect, you could possibly suggest that it would be appended, it would be added to the Sheva Mitzvei Noach, not because it's an independent Lav, but because it's a subset of every Lav. Every Lav comes with two parts to it. One part is, you can't do the Lav. Number two is, you can't cause others to do that restriction. That's a possibility. Where the other nafkamina, the other big nafkamina in the Chakir that I just said, is when it comes to Herav Ve'el Yavor. We did this when we learned the in Sanhedrin, but Soror Moreh, when the Perek, right, there's a requirement of a person to be Herav Ve'el Yavor for the Shlosha Mitzvah, for the three mitzvot, right, with the three big cardinal sins, which is Avodah Zarah, Shvichut Damim, and Arayot. The question really arises by Avodah Zarah. If you have a case of Lifnei Iver by Avodah Zarah, then do you have to be Yereg Val Yavor? So the Gemara over there says, Kakayei Vedeminovakai. The Gemara asks a question about these items where they used to come and ask for certain items for their Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara wants to know, how come we can give it to them? How come we're allowed to give up these items and we don't have to be Yereg Val Yavor? So the Gemara says there, Mishum Hanatam Shaini. And because of Hanatam, it was different. But what was clear from the Habamina of the Gemara, at least according to many of the Rishonim, was that had it not been Mishum HaNatan, for the benefit of the Ovdei Kochavim, then you would have been after being a Regval Yavor, even though you personally were not worshipping a Avodah Zarah. You were just giving them an item that would be used to worship Avodah Zarah. How could it be? That's not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's only Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. So many of the Rishonim, again, when we did paragraph, I gave you the Mekorot there, say that Lifnei Iver over there is the Regval Yavor. It's a subset of the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. Other Rishonim got out of their way to say, no. That situation over there is real Avodah Zarah. It's not Lifnei Iver, because there's no way you could be Chayav for Lifnei Iver and have to be Regval Yavor. But you clearly see that Machlokas of Rishonim is based on this Hakira of whether Lifnei Iver is an independent lav, then there would be no din of Regval Yavor, or it's a subset of Avodah Zarah. It's a subset that it might be subsumed under the requirement of Yereg Ve'Avor. So that happens to be a Machlokas Rishonim. So those are two nafkaminot, very important nafkaminot in why you view Lifnei Iver as a problem. But again, here, from our Gemara, it's clear that Lifnei Iver applies to a Ben Noach. And that's what the Gemara is asking here, Mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. So Gemara says, my nafkamino. What's the difference between them? The Gemara says, the Idlei Behema the Didei. He already has an animal to do for his Avodah Zarah. He has his korban ready. So if you sell him an animal now, you're not creating any Lifnei Iver, because he already has his korban in hand. So the Gemara says, Iyamar Mishumar Vacha, Hakamir Vachle. If the problem is causing him that he's going to have a gain, and then he's going to go praise his Avodah Zarah, that still exists. Iyamar Mishum, Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mekshol. Then there's no problem with Lifnei Iver, because he already has the item in hand. He does not need you to get to do his Avodah Zarah. Gemara says, is it really true that if he already has it in hand, that he does not violate Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol? And this becomes a major halacha in Lifnei Iver, very one of the most important halachas in Lifnei Iver, which is Vatanya, Rabbi Braisa, Amri Rabbi Noton, Lima Inayin. From where do we know? Shalo Yoshit Adam Kosho Yain Le Nazir. One may not pass a goblet of wine to a Nazir. Veber Minachai, Leven Noach. Right, again, here, an Eber Minachai to a Bnei Noach. Tamod Omar, Vilifnei Iver, Lo Titein Michshol. That one may not cause a tripping up. So what do you see over here? Here, a Nazir can get the wine himself. The Ben Noach can get the Eber Minachai by himself. And yet, when you pass it to him, you're still chayav for Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. So how could you claim that you're patur when it comes to the Avodah Zarah, when you give him the behema and he already has the behema in hand? Why should you be patur over here? So the Gemara answers, simply, which is, becomes a very, very fundamental halacha in Lifnei Iver, where it says, oh, dilo yavin lei shakli iu. If you had not given it to him, he would have taken it himself. Vikavar mishum Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol, and you're in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. So what's the difference by us? Betray every the naro. Right, this is again a fundamental halacha, which is that he's on the other side of the river. Betray every naro becomes a siman for any time that you are facilitating the abeira where the other person could not have done it without you. So over here, the nazir is on the other side of the river. He could not have gotten to the goblet or cup of wine without you. Your giving him the cup of wine is what allowed him to violate the isur. The Ben Noach, you're handing him the Eber Minachai, is what allows him to violate the Isur. Without you, they would not have been able to get to it. And that's what it says, Deganami, Dektani lo Yoshit, lo Tani lo Yitain. Yoshit means he passes it. Yoshit means you're passing across something. You're going over some sort of obstacle. As lo Yitain means you're just handing it to him. So the difference between lo Yitain and lo Yoshit is the difference between whether you violate the Lifnei Iver or not. If he could have picked up the cup of wine without you, then you're not in violation of the Lifnei Iver. If, on the other hand, he can't access the wine without you, you're in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol. Now, there's two important things to deal with here. One is, Tosfos points out before, and we're going to see a lot of this on today's daf, which is that the difference between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam on the Mishnah. Rashi and the Mishnah believe Lo Yisa V'Lo Yitain, right, that you're not allowed to transact with them, related to transactions in general, not to specifically Tikrovet Avodah Zarah, things that were used towards Avodah Zarah. Therefore, the distinction of the Gemara over here between, what's the nafkamina between Yuvai Lifnei Iver, Asava Matan, the Gemara specifically focuses on a Tekrovet Behema, which sounds much more like the Rabbeinu Tam. That the problem here, or the transactions that we're speaking of here, are not general transactions, but rather a transaction that involves something that is going to be used towards the Avodah Zarah. And so the bottom Tosfos says, Yesh Makshimi Kanaper Tekuntras, the Matnitan. Generally, tinach mecher. That makes sense when you're talking about selling things. Aval mekach, my lifnei iver. If you're purchasing things from them, what's the problem of lifnei iver? It's one thing to sell items to them, then if you have a problem with lifnei iver. Purchasing items from them, where's the lifnei iver in purchasing items? B'shema yesh lomar shememtzi lo ma'ot leknot tzarchei avodah chachamim, which is a premium cash. That cash could be used towards avodah zarah. But the Gemara seems to say that it applies to both. Masav v'natan would apply to both items. Just a question of which item. Meaning that Nesina v'netina, according to the way the Gemara is learning, now Mekach u'memkar, according to Rashi, which it is, you can be a violation of Harbacha, you can be a violation of Tnei Iver. It's just a question, which one?
That's what Rashi Okay,
then explain to me Mekach u'memkar in the Mishnah, according to Rashi, Lifnei Iver. What's the case of Mekach in the Mishnah of Lifnei Iver? So I wanted to suggest that what Shaul is saying, I didn't possibly want to suggest, is that if Lifnei Iver is not exclusive, that the way Rashi would learn the Mishnah is that you could be in violation of Iver, but you also could be in violation of Harvacha. I mean, that they're not mutually exclusive. The way the Gemara reads, it does not read so simply that way. The Gemara seems to indicate they're mutually exclusive. But you could say that in places where you are violation Lifnei Iver, where there's no Lifnei Iver, then you would be in violation of Harvacha, which is what your suggestion is. The Gemara does not simply read that way. That's one answer. The other possibility, what Tosfos says over here, is that you're mamsim mamot. You're giving them money, which then they can use to purchase items for avodah zarah. The problem with that is that there is a concept in Lifnei Iver, which is called Lifnei de Lifnei. What happens if you are a second degree removed from Lifnei Iver? Now, with a Jew, it might be that you're in violation of Lifnei Iver. Why? Say, with a Jew, Lifnei Lifnei, you might still be in violation, you probably are in violation of Lifnei Iver. Why? Because a Jew, the second Jew who is now going to cause a third Jew to do the Isur, he's now going to be in violation of Lifnei Iver. Now, if you facilitate the second Jew to do it to the third Jew, you are causing him to violate Lifnei Iver. So over there, you are now having Lifnei Iver towards the other Jew who is Lifnei Iver. Then, Lifnei Lifnei might apply. It might be that a Jew is then restricted from Lifnei Iver in that instance. That also would apply to a Ben Noach. Now, that would all depend on whether a Ben Noach is in violation of Lifnei Iver or not. Again, for Rabbeinu Tam, it's simple. There is no Mekach u'Memkar in the Mishnah. There's only one transaction. That's purchasing items of Avodah Zarah. L'seif l'tetamim is that you take the money, they take the behemah. That's what it means, l'seif l'tet, not that there's actual transactions that are taking place. So the Gemara does sound much more like the Rabbeinu Tam at this point than Rashi in its interpretation.
Like Cain said, there's a barter case
So that you call that the Mekach, you're purchasing something. All right, that's interesting. That'd be a nice solution. That's actually a great, better solution. That you're actually bartering with the individual, and that's the Kicha over there. It's a nice solution, although in the end, how do you distinguish then between Mekach and Memkar? To you, Mekach and Memkar now becomes, by barter, it's all one transaction. It's the same thing. But I think that might be, it's a nice solution. All right, the last thing we have to deal with is Tosfos over here. Tosfos over here hints to something. Tosfos in the beginning of the Gemara of Shabbos. What happens if you're not in violation of Nei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol? Does that mean that it's okay? Does that mean you're in the free and clear? Tosfos suggests, and many other places suggest, that there's an additional item called Miseyeya Leovrei Aveira. That there's an additional rabbinic restriction against helping or facilitating someone doing an Aveira. So even if you're not in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol, for instance, you're on the same side of the river, and you give the wine to the Nazir, over there, we would still be in violation of what Tosfos calls, like the Miseyeya Leovrei Aveira. You're helping him violate. True, it's not Lifnei Iver. You're not over the Isur Doraisa of Lifnei Iver, but still, you're a participant in him doing an Aveira. And becoming a accessory to the crime makes you culpable of Miseyeya Leovrei Aveira. Tosfos over here, Tosfos says, it's the second to last wide line in the top Tosfos here. It says, Aval Yisrael Shamar, Hoshit Li Nevela, O Chazir. What happens if a Jew says to you, pass me Nevela or a Chazir, not to Ben Noach, O Shum Yisur, any Yisur, in the Choshdo, Melo Shitlo, you can pass him those items. Even though the Yisur, you don't assume that he's going to eat them. Aval, Im Yaduo Lo Shirotze Lachlo, if you know for sure he's going to eat it, asur lo shitlo, you can't pass him, afilu hu shalo, even if it's his. And then he continues, if he's asur lo shitlo, mumrim lo becho chabim davar yisur, afo pishu lehem, even if it's theirs, you cannot pass it to them. Because, there are Yisrael, gomur, chashvin and leh, and, okay, mairi b'kai b'mokom shlo yuchali kachim lo yushitlo zeh, that's only in a case where he couldn't get it without you.
So Tosfos over here limits the restriction to when it's a case of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Mechshol. He does not mention the issue of Miseyeya, the Ovrei Aveira.
We're going to see that Tosfos says in other places that even when it is in a place where you can facilitate it, and if you get it yourself, you're still in violation of Miseyeya, the Ovrei Aveira. So that's something that also the Rishonim discusses. When you don't have Lifnei Iver, what do you have? Do you have nothing? Or do you have what Tosfos terms as Miseyeya, the Ovrei Aveira, a Dindur Abonon, that prevents you, if you're an accessory to the crime, that you are Miseyeya, the Ovrei Aveira. What happens if a person actually transacts? Meaning that it's already happened. What's the din? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nasa Menatan Asur. Once you do it, then the item that you purchased, the item that you did it with, is Asur. Mutar. If it's already, if you already violated it, then you are Mutar. The item itself doesn't become a Chetz of Isur, so you violated the Isur. Rabbi Yochanan the Reish Lakish, Edeem Shol Bdei Chachamim Nasa Menatan Asurim. When it comes to the how it is of the Chachamim, if they transact Asurim. By law, Lifnei Edeem. So it sounds like, right, not only under Edehem, but even Lifnei Edehem would be the same thing. The Gemara says, no, Edehem Dafko. Right, no, it's that price that we're bringing down says Edehem, only on their holidays is it restricted. But outside of the holidays, Lifnei Edehem would not be restricted. Chepza would not be a Chepza Bisur. Ikadamre, that the question was posed the other way. Eitvei Rabbi Shlokish ben Yashim ben Lakish, the Rabbi Yochanan, Edehem, Shalom de Chachamim Nasam Natan Asur. Edehem in. Lifnei Edehem lo. The Brisa specifically says, on their holidays, not Lifnei their holidays. Tana Yidri Yidei, right? Edehem Kari Le. The Tana calls both Lifnei Edehem and Edehem, Edehem. I mean, that category called Edehem, whether it includes the Eid or the before the Eid, all of those are restricted. Anything that was done on that day would be restricted. Tanya Kavase de Rabbi Shlokish. Over here you have a Brisa that supports the position of Reish Lakish. Kishamru Asur, La Seif, La Tetimem, Lo Asru, El Bedarvar Hamit Kayem. You're not allowed to sell them items that have duration to them. It's what we call durables. So when you're going durable items, those you can't sell them to them because they will still be extant, they'll still be there when the holiday comes about. On the other hand, if you sell them consumables, items that are non-durables, then what's the assumption? The assumption is it would be consumed before the holiday and then he wouldn't thank his God for it because it would already be gone. So the items that are restricted over here are only items. For instance, if you sell them vegetables in their day with no refrigeration, if you sell them vegetables, they have to be eaten within the day. If they're not eaten within the day, they're going to go bad. Yeah, so if they're going to bad, so they're not going to be thanking their God for it. All right, so a behema will last until that point in time. So that would be restricted. So a behema, it's not that it doesn't, not that you could shecht it beforehand, but the possibility of it lasting until that time would be a problem. But if you sell them an item that will not last until that day, or normally consumed, then you wouldn't have to worry about it. About dvar shenu mitkayim lo. Right, also, even in a thing, an item that is mitkayim, nasav natan mutar. Over there, if you transact with it, then it would be mutar. Meaning that if you already violated it, it would be mutar. Tosfos here brings another proof to Rabbeinu Tam, that over here we're talking about selling to them and not purchasing from them. And again, he says that's like the Rabbeinu Tam, that we're only talking about selling to them and not purchasing, unlike Rashi. The Brisa that's brought here supports the position of Reish Lakish. Sounds like the locha is like Reish Lakish over here. Even though this is not one of the items brought down, that where we pass an halacha like Reish Lakish over Rabbi Yochanan, generally the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan over Reish Lakish, except for the exceptions. This is not one of the exceptions that's mentioned in the machlokes between them. Nevertheless, it might be over here that they don't mention this as an exception because we have a brisa supporting Reish Lakish. Therefore, they didn't have to bring it in. It's not up for discussion. It's a brisa like Reish Lakish that din's like Reish Lakish. Tosfos wants to reject that and says we have other cases that are exceptions that they also bring a brisa. And nevertheless, the Gemara still enumerates them in the exceptions. And therefore, Tosfos wants to say the halacha is not like Reish Lakish, but like Rabbi Yochanan, we do paskin the halacha like Reish Lakish. Well, you have a Tana, then if you have a Tana, Rabbi Yochanan would have to find another Tana that supports him. If he doesn't, then he's problematic. Then he's nitotov. He can't do that. He can't argue on a Tana. Tani Rav Zvid, Bitbei Rav Oshia. So Rav Zvid was learning Breitot in the base measure of Oshia. Rav Oshia over here, like we know, was Mesader the Breitot. Him and Rav Chiyo were Sader the Breitot. So we're talking about a Breit here. Davar Sheinu Mitkayim, Mochrin Lahem, Aval Ein Lochim Mehem. A Davar that is not Mitkayim, right? That's something that is a consumable. So you do sell to them, you do not purchase it from them. So what's the problem here of lochim mehem? First of all, for Rabbeinu Tam, it's a very difficult statement. For Rabbeinu Tam, there's no restriction in lochim mehem. Lochim mehem is never a problem. It's only selling items to them. Buying from them is never an issue. So that's one. So this over here is a good proof to Rashi that there is a tzad lochim mehem. What does Rabbeinu Tam do? So that's what the Tosfos I read to you before. You know, he says lochim mehem is a daron, gifts. You may not take gifts from them. You may not accept gifts from the Obdei Avodah Zarah during that period of time, because we have this concept in the Gemara in Kiddushin that sometimes the giving a gift generates hana'ah, generates a monetary value. And that is, for instance, a person wants to be mekadesh isha, but how is he mekadesh isha? She gives a gift, and he's an odom choshuv. So his acceptance of the gift generates a pruta worth of value, and that pruta worth of value is mekadesh with it. So you see, sometimes the acceptance of a gift has some value to it. And that's what Tosfos says over here. Tosfos over here, what does it mean that lochim mehem? The perish of them lo asur shum kniya, tzarech lochim kabbalah doron. Ruat nami davar mitkayim. That's also true of things that are durable. Shem kabbalahem doron. So we hear this distinction of enu mitkayim, according to Rabbeinu Tam. What? You cannot accept gifts that are consumable, but you can accept gifts that are durable? That makes no sense. So he says, even so, the Huadin. You have to just say the Huadin by the Gochim. So again, Rabbeinu Tam does not read easy into this part. This is much better for Rashi, this statement over here. So now, how amino, and one of the proofs, by the way, about the Doron is this next Gemara. How amino, the Shadalei Dinora Kezrana, Le Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. So Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya received a, whether this is a Kezarian dinar or a dinar of the Caesar, which was that they had just minted new coins, they had poseled the previous coin, and now they brought out a new minted coin, which would be the new currency, and he's excited to give it to Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya, Biyomeido, he gave it to him on his holiday. So, Aviyoti Reish Lakish Kamei, Rabbi Yehuda was sitting there, Amar, Hechi Ovid, what are we going to do over here? Ashkalei Azilamodif, I accept it, he's going to go and be Modet to his Avodah Zarah. Lo Ashkalei, if I don't accept it, Avalei Eva. There's a problem of Ava over here. So Reish Lakish, Tov Zroko Tolabor, be fun enough. Take it and throw it into a pit right in front of him. Right, Amar, Kosh came to Avalei Eva. What type of suggestion is that? That's like triple the Ava. Hey, you're talking about Ava, that's like certain Ava. So he says, no, Kalachayad Hu Dekamina. Accept it from him, then pretend you dropped it and it fell into the pit. So there was no Ava because you accepted. He's not going to be Modeh because in the end you didn't get the benefit from the gift. So therefore he won't be Gomodeh Levodeh Zerah. Now here Shaul is a proof to what I thought before. Which is over here, the Gemara is clearly talking about Harvacha. The Gemara here is talking about Harvacha, not Lifnei Iver, Lo Titen Mechsho, it sounds like. This is a description of Harvacha according to Rashi, which is Modeh Lo Avodah Zarah. It's going to be Modeh to Avodah Zarah. So over there, I wanted to suggest, like we were suggesting, that even according to one who says Lifnei Iver, Lo Titen Mechsho, there is also Harvacha. It's not that there isn't Harvacha, but it might be also Harvacha.
And you can see this in the Rashi, Avalodu Chimehem. Why can't you purchase items from them? Demar Vechlei, Shmetok Shen Mitkayim Etavehu Lamachro. Why can't you purchase these items that are inu mitkayim from them? Because that is a harvacha, meaning that if he doesn't sell it right away, it's going to go bad. So his ability to sell it and make the money and get it off his hands is something that pleases him. It's clearly not lifnei iver. So what is it? It's harvacha. So you see here that in instances where lifnei iver does not apply, then possibly harvacha applies. This might also relate to what Tosfos is explaining, or we explained in Tosfos before, about Misayelo Vreyaveira, that this idea that when there is no Lifnei Iver, there is a problem or an additional issue called Harvacha. That Harvacha might be equal to what Tosfos calls in other places, Misayelo the Ovrei Aveira. They might be of the same making and the same idea, or they could be separate concepts. It could be a concept of Misayelo Vreyaveira. And then here in Avodah Zarah, there's a particular restriction against Lo Yishama Al Picha, but that you should not cause the names of Avodah Zarah to be called because of you, or you should not generate or facilitate the praise towards Avodah Zarah.
This latter part of the Gemara sounds like there would be Harvacha in no matter what. The question is if there's Nifnei Iver, although the earlier Gemara tries to draw a stark line between them, that one or the other, it's not both. But again, from this Gemara, I would suggest that it's both, and that would answer up some of the issues for Rashi in the Mishnah. All right. Ashilam l'sholmam, you may not borrow, you may not borrow or lend to them. Bishlam al ashilam, makes sense that you can't lend to them. The karma varchlu, again, you're giving them benefit. No, but karma varchlu, about l'sholmam, to borrow them, me'ute kamamaylu, what's the problem of borrowing from them? Why are we worried about borrowing from them? Lending to them, I understand, because then he gets the benefit of the item that he borrowed. But if he's lending them to you, he's out the product, he's out the item, why do we care? So I'm rabbi gzeir l'sholmahed, atul ashilam. That it's a gzeira. We don't borrow like the restrictions of Shabbos. We don't let you borrow from them because we're afraid you will lend to them. There'll be a quid pro quo, and therefore you'll be in violation of the Easter. Rava Amar, no. Kulo mishum dazil modu. No, the whole problem here is praise. The whole problem here is arvacha. Why? Because if you lend it to them, then he has an item. That's what he's excited about. When he lends to you, the fact that he is on the upper hand and he's lending something to you, he gets some sort of anah from that too. When you get a geshmak, when you lend something to someone, you're able to give them something, help them out. So that geshmak will go be modeh l'avodah zarah. So now we have a series of items like this, and Abayin Rav are going to have the same machlokas each time. Yeah, one is a din d'rabbanan, one might make an equal din d'oraisa. The question, if you think harvacha is a din d'oraisa, then it might be a difference between a din d'rabbanan and a din d'oraisa, and then you could be makel by Reish Lakish by Safek, and you would have to be machmir by d'oraisa. Alright, bishlam alavalt amishum d'garach, but when you lend them money, you're giving them benefit. Elolavot ma'am, to borrow them, am I? What's the problem with borrowing from them? Again, proof from here, that in the Mishnah we're talking about lending and borrowing without interest. Because if you're lending and borrowing with interest, what does that mean, kamar v'achlu? You lent them money with interest, you're giving them a benefit? No. Right? That's not the type of benefit. You're charging them for the privilege. So therefore, we're not talking about interest. That was what Rabbeinu Tam said on the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about that interest. With interest, you can lend to them, because over there, you're making, you're benefiting, you're, they're charging them for the benefit of taking the money. So, again, Abai says the same thing. Can't lend to them because you might borrow from them. Rabba Amar Kulo Mishum Dazulamote. Again, Rabba says the same problem again. When he lends money to you, right, I get to lend money to him, I get the benefit of lending him money, that type of gishmak, again, will give him and go Azul Modele Avodah Zarah. Lifor'an, Vilifloram'an. Lifor'an, right, you cannot pay off the loans, Vilifloram'an, and you cannot extract payment from them. Bishmam Alofor'am, to pay them off, Mishum Dekar Marvalachu. Again, you're paying their money back, they got their money back, they're excited. So again, this proves it's without interest. If he had interest, he's collecting interest all day long. What does he mind if he didn't pay it back? Here, where he lent him the money without any benefit, getting the money back is a huge benefit to him. But to accept payment from them, you're causing them detriment. They're losing money. Now they have to give you money. So I'm going to buy again. He says, just like it's restricted from repaying them, there's a restriction against taking payment from them. Again, this is a modu. And he comes, he gets going back, and he says, now that I paid him off, now I can thank my God because I paid him off and I'm done with this loan. I got this off my back. V'tzrichei, we need all these three items. Now, truthfully, the tzrichei all read for Rava. Abai doesn't need a tzrichei. Abai just says, why do you need all these three items in the Mishnah? Because all the gzeira, all the different gzeirot. I need a gzeira. I need you to tell me in each of these three cases that there is such a gzeira. So according to Abai, I don't need a tzrichei. On the other hand, for Rava, I do need to know why you told me all these three times. Everything's a kol mishum modeh. These are all similar items. Why do I need these distinctions over here? Although Tosfos over here says that even according to Abai, you need to have some nuance between them in order to make it a tzricha. That's what Tosfos says. So tzricha. Tehitana l'seif v'latate them, and the restriction against transacting with them, according to Rashi, according to Rabbeinu Tam, facilitate giving them to Grobet Avodah Zarah, mishum dekar marvachlu, because you're giving them some benefit. I mean, you're giving them an item that they can use. Vazel modeh. And then he goes ahead and he's modeh. Again, to Shaul's point before, that here, mirvachlu, we're talking about Abraham mirvachlu, even the Gemara doesn't even entertain the possibility of lifnei iver over here. Just talks about mirvachlu. About the shulman, but when he talks about borrowing something from them, demi'ute kamaylu, because when you take the item, they no longer have the item in hand, shapir dami, then it would be fine. The itan of the shulman, if he had just written to borrow from them, b'shum t'chashibilei milto, because it gives them a geshmak. He's lending you something. When you take money, borrow money from them, you just say it's a pain. There's nothing, there's no benefit to him over there. He just takes the money, he just hopes he gets his money back afterwards. Again, without interest. He's just hoping that he gets his money back. So Amar Tuv, right, Lo Hadre Zuze. So you just say, you know, just, it'd be just, I'll be lucky if I get my money back. It'd be enough for me. V'itan Olu Vot Mehem. Kamash Malah, no, that we say that he would just get a schmack out of it. Right. He says, when I lend them money, I can always extract the money from him. I can take him to court. I can get my money back. So there I'll give him a modah. To get payment to Lo Hadri Zuzei, when he has to pay you back the money, he can't come back and get the money. The money's gone now forever. There's a pain, and therefore he won't be Azalamoda Tzmicha. So we need all of these three. So let's say to the table, we started out with transacting with them. If they sold you something and they got money, they made a profit, that's why there'd be moda. The next thing is borrowing from them, then borrowing money from them, and the last thing would be getting repayment from them. So the tzricha is each of these items, which you would think less and less is a geshmak or an appreciation that he would do from it. Kamash Malon, in each of these cases that we say that he does appreciate it, and since he does appreciate it, it's a violation of our vacha and our mishnah. That's according to Rava. Again, Rava needs the tzricha to tell why each one you're more appreciative. But Rabbi is also going to need a tzricha going to Tosfos to teach us why do you need a gzeira in each of these cases. You have to explain to me why you made a gzeira otu in each of these cases. Gzeira otu is because each case, even though it's not like the previous case, nevertheless there's still something there. If there's something there, we need a tzricha in order to have a gzeira that's entertained over here. Rabbi Yudomir Nifrei Mehen, who says you're allowed to accept repayment from him, he disagrees with the Chachamim and says no gishmak, so we'd have to pay from them. So the late Rabbi Yehuda, afal pi shemitzar achshav sameach hu lachar zman. Right? Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda hold of this issue that, okay, when he pays right away, he's in pain because he has to give up the money. But after a time, he realizes he's out of debt. He's out of debt. That's a great thing. That's why the Chachamim say it's a problem. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda subscribe to that? Tanya, we have a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, isha lo tasud b'moed. A person, a woman, should not put on some sort of plaster that she used to put up cake onto her face because mipnei she nivul hula. When she has the plaster on her face, it's disgusting. She looks disgusting, she looks awful, she won't appear in public. But after you remove it, her face, now whether this is done to remove the hair from the face, or as Rashi claims over here, it's done to make her face red. Because when they pull it off, right, the agitation to the skin makes her face look red and shiny. So therefore there's some benefit to it afterwards, or some softening of the skin that happens afterwards. So well, that when it comes to plaster on the moed, if you do it on cholamoed and she's going to remove it on cholamoed, then it's okay. Even though she's in pain now during cholamoed, simcha yilach hazman, and that simcha will be on cholamoed. So see, it's a simcha's yom tov now, or simcha's cholamoed, that's permitted. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda entertains the possibility of breaking between the immediate and the future. So Rabbi Nachmisa, chanach l'chot moed. But don't bring me that proof from Cholamoy. The kulu meitzar achshav simcha leacharzman. That's the whole premise of doing avoda. Any malacha that you do on Cholamoy is exactly that. Why do we permit you to do malacha on Cholamoy? Because the benefit that you will derive from that malacha. Right? She says, shchita. Shchita is a tircha. Cooking. Right? Tikkun suda. All these items, all these malachot that you do, all those are meitzar achshav. They're a pain now, but they get the benefit. The reason they're allowed is because of the simchas yom tov, simchas moed that comes out of it. So that's the whole concept of cholamoy. The restriction of malacha in cholamoy is all about something that doesn't bring about the simcha. Something that ends up in simcha, that's not a question whatsoever. So Ravina Omar, ovdei kochavim linyan piron leolam meitzar. Right? So he says, Ravina says that by an ovdei kochavim, or this is the position of Rabbi Yehuda, that when it comes to paying back money, it's always painful for them. They never reach that point of simcha. Now the Gemara says, "Let's meet in the lok Rabbi Shu ben Karcha." Our mission is not Rabbi Shu ben Karcha. The Tanya, we have a brace Rabbi Shu ben Karcha. A milveh b'shtar in Yifroim emenu. Right? If he has a loan outstanding with a shtar, you don't take payment. Milval peh. It's an oral loan. Yifroim mehem. Mibnei Shu kimetzil miyadam. Because it's saving money from them. Again, we saw the Tosafot on the Mishnah that today's day, or at least in Tosafot's day, that he believed even with a shtar he should take payment because there was no guarantee that a Jew could get repayment in the Middle Ages. In Europe, and therefore even with the shtar, anything, even with a mashkon, to take payment because there's no guarantee you're going to get your money back. The Jews didn't have that type of power where they could extract the money, and therefore you take the money when you get it, and we don't ask any questions about it. But at least Rabbi Shua ben Karcha draws this distinction, and our Mishnah does not make such a distinction over here. Yatib Rabbi Yosef achareid Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Yosef was sitting behind Rabbi Abba. Yatib Rabbi Abba kameid Rabbi Huna, and Rabbi Abba was before Rabbi Huna. Yatib kamar hilchatak Rabbi Shua ben Karcha. Hilchasa kiri Rabbi Yehuda. The halacha is like Rabbi Shu ben Karcha over here, as opposed to our Mishnah, and the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says Hilchata kiri Rabbi Yeshua hadamran. The halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua, is like what we said. Kiri Rabbi Yehuda, what's the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanya, we have a brisa. Notain semer litzoveya litzboa. Right. So he gives it to a tzoveya, gives it to a dyer. Litzboa lo adom, litzboa shachor. To make it red, and instead he makes it black. Shachor, if it's a baladom. He gave it to make it black and he made it red instead. Rabbi Meir Omer, no tonlein, to make simro. He just gives him back. I'll call it kishatak zela. When he changed it, when he did the shinui, he's koneet. And therefore, he just pays him back the value of the item, the wool that he gave him. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im ha-shevach yeter al yitziyah. If the benefit is in excess of the outlays, the cost of dyeing the item, no tonlein et yitziyah. He pays him for his outlays and he gets the shevach. V'im ha-yitziyah yeter al ha-shevach. On the other hand, if the expenditures are higher than the benefit, no tonlein et ha-shevach. He pays him for the value. So over there, that's what we say, Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Meir. Halacha is that we say that it's not kishatak zela. The shinui is not kone over here. The shinui is not kone. If the shinui is not kone, it belongs to the original baal. Belongs to the original baal. Then all he has to do is compensate him for the lower of the expenditures or the shevach. And he keeps the item. The item is his and the shevach accrues to him. The benefit accrues to him. And then we'll stop over here. Even though this whole case continues, but it really continues most of the way down the daf over here. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a great Shabbos.